Greetings, my loves. That was the cover of Rainbow Connection from the band Thank God for Vocoders. And you are listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. Welcome. Holy God in heaven, I have got a wonderful podcast for you today. I feel so lucky that this is my job. I don't even know how I end up getting to have conversations like this. Sometimes I even get foggy regarding how I met people, but suddenly, I find myself having conversations that I'll think about for the rest of my life. And this is one of those conversations. Today, our guest is Dr. Ben Epstein. He is a rabbi. He's my rabbi. And he is a brilliant Jewish scholar, and a psychologist, and an author. We're going to jump right into some heavy duty, Kabbalistic, mind blowing glory. But first, this. Did you know that if you live in the United States and you want to watch Fight Club on Netflix, you can't? But if you're in Canada, you can. Not fair. It's not my fault that I cannot bi-locate yet. But you can. With ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN, it lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think you're located. They have almost 100 different server locations, so you can gain access to thousands of new shows. This works with many other streaming services too, BBC, iPlayer, YouTube, and more. ExpressVPN. They've got blazing fast speeds. You can stream in HD with zero buffering. It's compatible with all your devices, phones, laptops, media consoles, smart TVs. Encrypts all your data so that you're safe. Let's face it, a VPN, it is the condom of the internet. I have used ExpressVPN and it's easy. That's what I like about it. It doesn't require a lot of weird installations or extra stuff. You just press a button and you are wherever you want to be. Be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/Duncan. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/Duncan to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Thank you, ExpressVPN. Dear loves, as always, I want to invite you, entreat you to join my Patreon over at patreon.com/DTFH. You will get extra content. You will get commercial-free episodes of the DTFH. And I cannot confirm or deny that you will be spared from the wild small animal attacks that have been happening all across this country. Now, without further ado, I would like to introduce you to my friend and rabbi, Dr. Ben Epstein. Dr. Benji, do you think that there is a lane? And if there is a lane, what is your lane?
I'm finding it because I did not think that this was in my lane. And you know what? The universe has a way of saying, guess what? It is now. It is now. So
you didn't think podcasting was in your lane?
I didn't think Duncan Trussell was in my lane. I didn't think that meeting heroes, which is always, you know, going to potentially be disappointing, is going to be something that's going to be life-changing and exhilarating. Because I look good when I'm animated.
Yeah, I think you look great. I mean, it's a little foggy on the camera, but I love our conversations. I love the messages that you send me from time to time regarding, like, just very sweet things about existence. And I just realized, like, my God, here we have someone. No way! You're wearing a Midnight Gospel shirt! Oh, thank you.
Well, I feel kind of bad because the person who designed it, like, I thought it was, like, special design, like, just for me. And then she put it on her store. And I'm like, no, I paid for that design. And you're not getting any of that money. So I hope you're not pissed about that. But you have no idea what you did on Jewish Twitter when you put this on your show. You blew so many people's minds.
Really?
That's the Kabbalistic, you know, diagram. That's the tree of life.
I know.
Are you a metaphor and and on a water slide? It's like, how many times do you want to make my brain explode? I think, was that the goal? It's like, the goal is soul, by the way. That's the t-shirt. The goal is soul. We got to make that t-shirt. But other than that.
Well, I think the goal, there wasn't so much a goal as much as, when you start getting into the Kabbalistic tree of life, you are, for me at least, number one, you are sort of, you begin to get this sense of like, oh, I'm encountering something more than a symbol here. Like, I don't know, is this thing sentient? What is this thing? Is it talking to me? Why is it talking to me? And so you start asking it questions like, what are you?
What do you want from me? And can we hang out? Can we hang out more often?
Yeah.
No, but I feel very blessed to have you in my life. Even
thank you.
I mean, I'm really trying to keep it together. And you tell me when I'm not, because
you're keeping it together.
You provided a voice that is just. Again, you talk about my lane, like, you might be my lane, which is, I don't know, is that weird? Is that weird to say?
Yeah,
that,
well, yeah, I'll tell you why. Here's, it's not, nothing's weird to
Nothing's
say.
weird. Yeah, it's not right.
But
Sorry.
but
Poor
I,
choice of
I
word.
but you know, I think the number one, just knowing myself well enough to understand, like, oh, I'm someone who's just interested in stuff, and also knowing that there are legitimate like people like you who have dedicated their lives to mysticism, to healing, and to and it makes me, you know, I just feel like it's, you know, like the thing they have to put on cigarettes or whatever. It's like, yeah, it's great, but I don't know long term. You know what I mean? Like, which is why, but I do love thinking about these things, and I and specifically, like, when I look at like the various lineages that have impacted my life, you know, for sure, Judaism, specifically the tree of the Kabbalah, the tree of life, and of course, a lot of my most of my teachers, you know, started off as Jews, you know, and then some of them became.
They still are. They still
You're
are.
still considered a Jew, like, even if you're a Buddhist, you're still a Jew. Oh, okay, I wasn't sure if there's a.
You're always in the club. That's
Oh,
you know,
cool. That's
that's, you
good to
know, it's like,
know.
yeah,
That's
we're
good
not
to
we're
know.
yeah.
I wasn't sure if, like, you know, Ram Dass, if he, you know, like, if, okay, good to know. Well, then
He's
that.
as much in the club as the string wearing black hat, you know, to fill in. Oh, anyway, you're in the club. You're in.
How am I in the
And
club? I didn't. I'm. My grandfather was Jewish, but it's, you know, it's matriarchal, so I don't get to. Damn.
I'm gonna call in some favors. I'm gonna see if I can pull some strings, but it might be tough. It might be a tough set.
See?
We might have to snip. We might have to do
I'm
something.
snipped.
Yeah, there's a workaround. I don't know how graphic we're gonna get for the
I
audience,
am
but there's a
snipped.
workaround.
I'm snipped.
We'll see. There's a little bit more, but no, you're
What?
definitely you're a friend. You're a friend to the tribe. No, we're
You're
pretty
saying I have to
exclusive.
get snipped more?
No, there's just it's just like a
There's not
mindset.
much. There's not much left.
We got there quickly. We got there quickly. I was like, how quickly can we get to your private parts? Is this a record? Is this a
No, look, the but the tribe, the what a mystical tribe. What a mystical tribe. And so much in Western culture has sprung out of the thousands of years of contemplation, the thousands of years of processing, the thousands of years, not just like in terms of mysticism, but psychology itself. You know, all of these things seem to be bubbling up out of that tribe. Tell me why.
I think there's the perennial wisdom. The perennial wisdom. Like, the thing is, like, do you consider yourself a guru?
No, I do not.
You know what? I don't consider myself any of those things that you said to me, a student of mysticism, a healer. I'm none. I am an average Joe. But your average Joe in my tradition, in my faith, is constantly doing these mystical ideas and practices, whether or not you're aware of them or not. I am wearing strings right now. Can we show this?
Yeah,
I'm
well,
wearing.
he's
Or it's
what
fine.
for
No,
the
they're not.
listeners, he's showing me these strings, which, by the way, I'm not certain what they're called, but
They're
yes.
called tzitzit. They're called tzitzit. They're worn on a four-corner garment, and they're supposed to be a meditative device, which is, again, for most people, they just put them on in the morning, make a blessing, and go about their day. But if we stop and pause and use it as another touchstone to remember something, like, you'd be like, whoa, that's you know, there's a lot of autism going on around me. I'm in a special needs camp right now, so I apologize for
No
that. So it's
problem.
oh, your mind would be blown. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful scene. It's service of you know, in honor of our, you know, for our fellow man, because we're all trying to connect on a soul level here. But in terms of, like, I'm just a regular guy who's just, you know, doing the things, but it's part of the day-to-day. It's
Gotcha.
built in. And the more you study about it, the more you learn about it, the more you become, you know, hopefully connected. You know, dvekut, which is this idea of attachment. Of, again, it's the opposite. You know, Buddhism is like being non-attached. No, we're trying to fully attach to what is. We're
Ah,
really
that's
connecting to
cool.
what is, right? So, like, there's so many similarities, and I'm just learning about these things, you know? I'm just starting to see the similarities, and I'm so attracted to Buddhist thought, but how it informs my life in my lane. Right? I'm not looking to go to ashrams. I'm not looking to go to Dharamsala. But I can take from your teachings, And I could take from Sharon Salzberg and Joseph Cornfield, Jack Cornfield and Joseph Goldstein,
yes,
and Tara Brach, and be like, how does this inform my life and my traditions and my faith? And I see there's a lot of overlap. I mean, and we just, we're going, you know, we're trying to get to these places.
I want to thank Feels for sponsoring this episode of the DTFH. Feels is premium CBD delivered right to your doorstep. And CBD isn't about what you feel, it's about what you don't feel, like stress, anxiety, pain. I use it when I can't fall asleep. It helps me relax. It's just a better way to feel better. Keeps your head clear, helps you feel your best, and it's hassle-free. They bring it right to your door. CBD naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. There's no hangover or addiction. And I'll tell you, I have been through times in my life where I've thought to myself, you know what? I'll just get addicted to benzos if it helps me fall asleep. But you don't need benzos when you got CBD. You just place a few drop of Feels under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. The thing to remember about CBD is that finding your right dose is important and everyone's dose is different, which is why Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience so that you find your perfect dose. The Feels customer service team is dedicated to making sure you get the best use of your CBD. Joining the Feels monthly membership makes your self-care easy. You'll save money on every order and you can pause or cancel at any time. Start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/Duncan and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's FEALS.com/Duncan to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/Duncan. God bless you, Feels. Can we talk about Vaikund a little bit? Because I was just having a conversation with a friend about depression and how with depression, it's like you get this suddenly things that aren't good for you become attractive, right. Things that are your bed suddenly has this like magnetic quality, an extra heavy duty gravitational field. You're drawn into, activities that create a sort of exponentially increasing gravitational well. That's just why depression is deadly. Like the more you listen to it and the more you get pulled into it.
It's an illness.
It's an illness. And it gets, increasingly difficult, to get out of it. It's because eventually it just tells you to not talk about you, is inviting you to not even utter the words that you're depressed. So it's like, the opposite is Vaikund getting drawn into a gravitational well or field or some being attracted to God. Is that Vaikund?
I think Vaikund means it's that awareness that we all possess, that natural awareness that we all possess. When we're talking about seeing God, like we have to get out of the old man in the sky. Right?
Yes.
Which again is a hard, that's a hard myth to break out of.
Sure.
You know, stern father, whatever your relationship with your dad was, usually looks like the same relationship you have with God.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, it's that guy. It's like, oh, he doesn't really want to talk to me or he doesn't want to.
He's pissed.
Not my dad. Or he's pissed. Well, that might be my dad. I hope he doesn't listen to that. He's pissed. I don't know what he's pissed. What's he pissed about? And again, there's a lot of intergenerational trauma that the Jewish people have suffered. And so, you start to project your own, but in terms of really connecting to what is and what is happening right now, that's divinity. That's the way God wants to be perceived in the moment. And so the negative feelings per se, and this is also very similar to, I think, Buddhist psychology, is, okay, this is the weather. This is the weather right now. And we talk about in an anthropomorphic way that there's also God experiences, the sadness and the suffering, the struggle. There's actually, we're doing some quick, right now in the Jewish calendar, which is, always sort of aligning ourselves to the zeitgeist of the moment. There's the we celebrate or we mourn the destruction of the temple, which was the ultimate fusion of the physical and the spiritual, the temple in Jerusalem.
Yes.
And it was destroyed, I don't have many thousands of years ago, but on Sunday, you know, Jewry will celebrate this day of mourning, this national day of mourning, where we sort of lost that connection. It's called Tisha B'Av, where we go through the mourning, you know, like there are different, you know, rules of mourning. Like we wear certain clothing, we fast, and we suffer, you know, that, and the mitzvah, the commandment of that day is to suffer, you know, and afterwards the mitzvah, you know, the commandment is to be joyful again.
Wow.
But for that day is to really, to sit in it, you know, without getting swept away. But we're not denying the feelings. We're not denying the emotions. Whoa. And the reason why the temple was destroyed, the sages teach us, is because of, you know, people weren't loving one another. There wasn't that love towards one another. And God said, in that world, I don't want to be a part of that. So again, it's not a physical removal, but it's a you can't sense that anymore.
Wow.
We've lost that ability. And you learn the Kabbalistic Sfarim, the books, excuse me, you learn the Hebrew books, and it talks about how creation could even have occurred. How could creation occur from the oneness, from the divine, that is, right? How could there be that way? And then you have this concept from the Ari, who is the, you know, a Kabbalistic mystic who lived in Sfat in the, you know, 1400s, the historical scholar. And I'm just getting into this. So, you know, we're all... This is all, no, but this is amateur hour. Like my people, like you've met enlightened people, right? I've met enlightened people.
Yeah.
So when I say you're a guru, you're like, no, you know, Ram Dass or-
Neem Karoli Baba.
Neem Karoli Baba, who, if you read about him, the man was as expansive as the sky,
yes.
Right? You read things, it's like, oh my God, wherever I am, he can feel me because he's love.
Yes.
So I've met people like that.
Yes.
I've met people like, so when I talk about it, I'm a total noob. Like I'm a total hack. So you, again, I apologize to your audience, but you know, yeah.
You ain't
so
a
like,
hack.
I'm a total hack,
okay.
But no, are you a hack?
Yeah.
The same way I feel that you're a guru, you could feel that way about me.
Okay.
So you know what? No. Sharon Salzberg, who is my teacher. We've never met, but she is my teacher.
She's amazing.
Sharon Salzberg went to, you know, on one retreat or something. She went to, I'll get back to the story. My ADHD is going to kick in, but I'm saying we can connect on that.
It's
but
a
I'll
podcast.
Get back to your question.
This is what we do.
This is what we do. Should we call Joe now? Anyway, so she went to Deepa Ma after retreat, and she said she was done, and she's going back home. And Deepa Ma said to her, "You should teach meditation." And Sharon's like, "Nah, you know, And you know what she said to her? She said, "You should teach because you understand suffering,
right.
And that's why you're qualified to teach."
Yeah.
So I think you understand suffering.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all understand suffering, but there are people who understand suffering, and for better or for worse, I also do, and I run away from this. I'm being very open right now because you're my therapist and guru. So
thank
like,
you.
This is a safe. No one's listening, right? This is a safe space,
no,
right?
No one's listening.
No, but like. I understand suffering, and all I want to do is run away from it. Like I want to just become a real estate agent. Like I want to just like, first of all, do you think I could do a 9-to-5 job? No way. I'd be great at the water cooler banter, but like, let's be honest here.
Yeah. Same.
But like I understand suffering, and that means like you have two options. You could avoid that, you know, and like nobody wants to join a hedge fund with me, or you could teach, you know, because that makes you qualified. It's like, well, I'd prefer like to have a different qualification, like, I don't know, like something else other than the fact that
suffering.
You understand suffering.
But this coming up this Sunday, you're saying it's sort of, this is the symbol of like confronting suffering, not running away from suffering. It's the symbol of like having that moment of acknowledging where there wasn't love in your life, right? The things where you were like running away, disconnecting, trying to turn away and not ignoring it. Is that what you, is that the idea? Is that why you brought it up
and questioning God? Because people feel like, you know, doubt is going to get in the way of their faith, but no, doubt, healthy or holy doubt
can
accentuate the faith. It's the despair, and that's what I sent you. That flyer that I'm giving to, like, you know, this, I'm speaking to the staff about this, you know, about, you know, especially, you know, we're still in this pandemic, but I'm seeing people are just falling apart.
Yes,
you know, if you were doing okay before the pandemic, you know, you know, job was stable, kids, you know, weren't getting kicked out of school, marriage or the relationships were working fine.
Yeah.
You got shook. But if you were already teetering on the edge before this pandemic, the floor has fallen out from you.
And yeah.
there's so much despair, and, like, just following on social media, and I know you've spoken about this, just like, you know, hey, maybe you don't want to read everything. Or you know, Bo Burnham's like, maybe it wasn't such a great idea to let 20 people in Silicon Valley decide, you know, the future education of our children or something like that. And it's like, maybe that wasn't a great idea. But, like, we're emerging from this, and it doesn't feel like we're all in this together. It feels like we are really, really hurting right now. And that despair is what the Hasidic masters, the gurus, you know, they were screaming on the top of their lungs. Like, never give up. And that doesn't mean that it's going to work out in the fixed way you want, and which is very aligned with Buddhist psychology, right?
Yeah.
It's like, don't give up. Like, hey, you might not make it to the finish line, and we both know, and you know this well tonight, and I'm staying in my lane here. We both know this isn't our first time around.
Yeah.
This is probably not the last time around. And if this is a simulation, I would have liked to have picked a different character. Moving on. I don't want to talk about it because I'm out of my element.
Same.
You're right. Just in certain areas, not in necessarily looks, but physique-wise, right? We'd just be like, why would you pick that character?
A little more testosterone, please.
My avatar. I'm flipping my avatar.
Yeah, but wait, hold on. Tell me about this symbol, screaming never give up. How were they screaming that? What words were they using to say never give up?
Rabbi Nachman, our guru. The guru of all gurus, Rabbi Nachman. And maybe you want to come with us to there's the New Year, the Jewish New Year, which we connected on the Jewish New Year. That was our touchstone.
Oh, yeah.
That was when we started. It was a year ago, so it's coming up in a month. And there's a mass pilgrimage to his grave.
Whoa.
In Lithuania, and it makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. And it is, someone's like, oh, it's like Burning Man. I'm like, there's a lot less LSD, but there is this mass spiritual migration. Where it's just like that was his message of never giving up, believing in yourself, believing in your worth, and believing that what you do matters. And, you know, and it changes everything, because that's it. You're either going to be it's you have faith or you don't. And faith is faith in yourself. You know, another guru said, if you have, you know, belief in God, then you are equally obligated to believe in yourself.
Whoa. You know, right. I mean? Right. As above, so below.
As above, so below. 100%.
If you're connecting with this idea of there being some divine perfect progenitive force, and you came from that, then you have to accept the responsibility. I guess it's a responsibility. You have to accept that. What are you going to say? The thing fucked up with you? Like, you were its one mistake. You're aware of it.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oops, I did it again.
Today's program is brought to you by Athletic Greens, the most comprehensive daily nutritional beverage you may ever try. With so many stressors in life, it's difficult to maintain effective nutritional habits and give our bodies the nutrients it needs to thrive. We got busy schedules, poor sleep, poor exercise, the environment, the freaking moon is gonna wobble in 10 years and cause everything to flood, plus just basic day-to-day stress. We're in a meat suit that's gonna die. All these things can leave us deficient, and this is where Athletic Greens can help. It's a life-changing nutritional habit. Their daily all-in-one superfood powder is your nutritional essential. It is by far the easiest and most delicious nutritional habit that you can add to your daily routine today and empower you to take ownership of your health. They simplify the logistics of getting optimal nutrition on a daily basis by giving you the one thing with all the best things. No more combining all kinds of vitamins together, and maybe you forget to eat, and the next thing you know, you're having a vitamin puke. One tasty scoop of Athletic Greens contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic. And these all work together to fill the nutritional gaps in your diet, increase energy and focus. And it goes without saying that this all supports a healthy immune system, all without the need to take multiple products. Athletic Greens, my friends. It's the answer if you're somebody who doesn't want to have to deal with a never-ending array of vitamins. Plus, right now, Athletic Greens is doubling down on supporting your immune system. They're offering my audience a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. If you visit my link today, you'll basically never have to buy vitamin D again. Just go to athleticgreens.com/Dunkin' and join health experts, athletes, and health conscious go-getters around the world who make a daily commitment to their health every day. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/Dunkin' and get your free year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs today. Thank you, Athletic Greens.
My memory is shot, but I can really recall, I'm on a bus in Jerusalem and I'm listening to you to say on one of your shows, and you're saying, just bear with me for 1 minute. And you did a guided meditation, a perfect as you are meditation. And I am just crying my eyes out. Again, you have to keep breaking your heart until it opens. And you're either a heartbreaker or a heart opener. I don't know. We have to figure that one out. Thank you. I mean, and I know I'm not alone in this, because what your show was able to do, it was able to tap into forgetting about you know, the tribute to your mom, who is, you know, really just, you know, you start to realize how amazing human beings are and can be. I mean, wow.
Thank you.
You talk about, like, yeah, thank you. And thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing, you know, what it means to connect to something that's so much deeper. And again, that death awareness, which is something that's come into my wheelbarrow now. I think that's the next book, which I'll never get written because it took me so long to write the other book.
I can't get your book. You know, your book's unavailable on Amazon.
I'm gonna sue everyone.
Who are you it's gonna fine. Sue? You gotta sue yourself.
I gotta sue myself.
Why is your book is sold out?
My book is sold out.
But are you aware of that? That it's unavailable. You can't.
I looked at it right now. It's like I said to my wife. I said I can't even plug the book because you can't get it. I'm the worst. But it's God's way of saying, you know what? Come email me. I'll give them my email. They can all email me. I'll send you a copy of my book.
Okay, that's great. Now wait, you said something early on. And I love it because you just skipped past it.
I skipped past it.
And again, one of the guru qualities is that's what they do. It's these little time bombs. I just think I'm getting better at recognizing them. You said the way things are, that's the way God wants to be perceived. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Meaning what's the alternative?
Hold on. Let me think of the alternative to that.
What's the alternative? You're either in or out. And you messing up is part of the system. He literally built it into the system that you're going to do something off, because guess what? That's what? Part of it. No, I mean, it gets a little antinomian. It gets a little bit like, okay, wait a second. So how much free will is there? And then we got to get Sam Harris on board and be like, I don't want to talk to that guy. I feel really dumb.
Yeah,
I don't
want to get... same.
Let's get him on.
I wish I could. I had the ability to, like, a Sam Harris bat phone, but I don't. It would be great to have him pop in.
I'm telling you, everybody wants to be on this podcast. Everybody who I know.
Really?
He's so smart. Everybody. He's so smart. And he's great. And he sees things that way. But again, these guys can't get out of their own way. Because, you know,
but wait, hold on. Sorry to cut you off. War.
No, I'm good.
War.
What is it good for?
Suffering.
Absolutely nothing.
Poverty. You live in a place right now beset with conflict, that's been going on. I mean, I've been reading this wonderful book, Jerusalem.
It's bloody, and the description of it
is like this kind of like ancient graveyard, but it's so holy and powerful. Wonderful book. I'm sure you've read it. But yeah. Not just clearly, not just there, like the United States, we were living in a country that's been at war for 93% of its history, social injustice, everywhere you look, you're saying this is the way God wants to be perceived. Help me understand that.
What's the alternative?
But
we're put in this world to do some sort of tikkun, some sort of rectification, right? There was a shattering of the vessels, right? That's going back to the Kabbalah. Again, how did the imperfect come out of the perfect? And again, the language that the Kabbalists use is God exited the building. Because there was this unified, everything one, all love, right? We're there. And then God said, you know what? For free choice, for that existence to be created, and again, I'm not doing it justice. We're talking tomes. We're talking people who have devoted their lives to it, and I'm just a hack who just wants to hang out with you, which is really pretty much what I want to do all day, is just hang out with people that I like.
Thank you.
Thank you. And so I got to plug my buddy who's doing ketamine therapy at some point afterwards.
Please.
That's another guy. But in terms of, you know, God exited the world and he created what the Kabbalists say, this empty space, this vacant space, which created the possibility for death, for Holocaust, for flood, for suffering. It's all of that. That's it. Because the perceived, because once you perceive divinity in something, it kind of takes the edge off, right?
Yes.
Enlightened beings do not deny that there's suffering in the world.
No.
They're just not so broken about it.
Right.
They're not. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
They're not jerks. They're not pretending like, oh yeah, there's no, I mean, they're the most in touch with like the physical day to day, which is the most amazing. Our gurus are so in this world.
Yes.
And they're so not. They're so not. Meaning you're tickling people's feet, right? That's gotta be in this world, right?
Yes.
But did you feel like he was really like, he wasn't always here. He was here and he was somewhere else.
That's
right?
The description that I've
heard. Is that fair? Is that fair?
Fair. Very fair. That's right? The description. And when you're around that, that's what's so spectacularly wonderfully weird about it, is because you've been around humans your whole life, but then suddenly you're around something that isn't it's a human in the sense that it's a, you know, bipedal hominid without wings or whatever, but
you're not, but it's, you are,
but right. But
you definitely go to the bathroom, but you're doing it on a different scale. You're doing it on a different level.
Right. I mean, well, what I love about the stories of Neema Karoli Baba is that, you know, you see them from a distance. Like Ram Dass, when he first met Neema Karoli Baba, he sees this old man on a blanket sort of up the slope of this hill. Just looks like an old man sitting in a blanket. No big deal. No big deal. So he's, you know, walks up to, surrounded by people, of course, and like, but you know, you just kind of walk up to it. It's the same way people take acid. You know what I mean? It's like, what? It's a little white.
No big deal.
It's a square of paper. What's the big deal? What could this possibly do?
Yay big.
Yay big.
Yay big.
By the way, another Jewish contribution to the culture. We cannot forget Dr. Hoffman. But anyway, the point is, the once you get into the it's almost like the opposite of a black hole, you know, it's a white hole. Once you get into that event horizon or whatever you want to call it, and I'm sure it was true of Rabbi Nachman. Is that what you called him? Rabbi, what's that?
We could call it. We're staying away from the moon in this conversation. Nachman. Nachman.
But I'm sure it was true of that person, is that, you know, and it was true of Ram Dass too. It's true of all of these people, is that once you get close enough, that suddenly you realize like, oh, wow, I don't know what this is.
I will see that and I will up that.
Thank you.
Because what we call that Or HaTzadik, the light of the righteous individual, which is again, what that's tapping into isn't that you're looking at someone else. Meaning, here's the litmus test for whether this guy is the real deal, Do you feel like a POS after you meet them? Or do you say, oh, wait a second. That's what I'm capable of. That's what I'm potential. That's the Or HaTzadik, because they're invigorating and they're pushing that button of like, oh, me too. I also have Or HaTzadik in me. And again, we're talking about Or HaTzadik, which is, again, this is what they're able to do. Because it makes no sense that the two of us, and again, I want to just pause for 1 minute and just express my gratitude to the universe, to Duncan Trussell, to whoever else, you know, in everything that's led up to this moment, you know, and
Same.
to say, you know, and
Same.
bless,
Same.
gratitude.
I can't believe I
Gratitude,
get to
but
have these conversations. I just can't believe it. It's impossible to
it's
understand.
And when we get depressed, we forget that. Depression is, and again, in the Kabbalistic works, depression means forgetting your name. You forget your name. And it says after
What?
you die, it says after you die, you forget your name unless you're like conscious of it. And then your name isn't, you know, your Hebrew name is your Hebrew name is David, right? Your name after King David, right? It's David, right? Was that
Duncan,
your Hebrew
what,
name?
me?
Yeah. Yeah, I would, you know, after we do the circumcision again. But
You have
no,
to
bad
repeat the
bit. Bad bit,
circumcision?
bad bit, bad bit, bad bit. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, you don't. You're in. You're in. We're gonna do the workaround. Cause sign me up, coach. Sign me up. Like,
Not selling a lot of tickets.
It's like, oh, I'm telling you, if you want to be in the club, you might as well enjoy it. You know, the self-haters, it's like, dude, like, if you're gonna be in this. Are you a metaphor? But anyway,
Okay, well, my
yes.
friend, I'm so sorry, but I have to. We're jumping to some. There's
We're
two. You
jumping.
do,
We're
okay,
jumping.
you've given me a
Yeah, we need to start.
lifetime worth of ideas to think about. So I need to slow it down a little bit. I want to go
I
back
want to
to.
get back to the depression. I want to
Oh,
get back to
no,
the
I want to go
depression.
back to Or HaTzadik,
Or HaTzadik, Or
Or
HaTzadik, yeah.
HaTzadik, Or HaTzadik. I want to get back to this because I have some questions about this kind of effulgence, and I wonder if you have any thoughts on it. So I had. Someone who was an expert on the near-death experience on the podcast. It was one of the most remarkable things that happened to me when I was volunteering with a hospice is that I was sitting with a woman who was probably a few hours away from dying. And I noticed that the room was lighting up. The room was lighting up and I noticed that she was, you know, kind of struggling against dying. But every time she relaxed, it was like the room lit up. And I've done so many psychedelics. When things like that happen, I'm just like, I don't know. Is this me or is this happening? But I mentioned it to him. And even before I got to the question, he's like, you want to know about the light, what it's called the fey light. And when people are dying, they seem to have this kind of ethereal light about them. Is that the same thing? Is Or HaTzadik, is it some quality of the soul that is like when you have somehow managed to get the dust off enough, it emanates or something? Is it a different thing completely?
I've never thought of it like that. I definitely think that, like, and again, I will refer to what your mom said. What your mom said, that if that's okay, we, you
Yeah, of course.
know,
Yes.
yeah. I say what she said was so poignant, where she said she's never felt more alive. When she was fully accepting that this was part of the process, and again, that sort of radical acceptance, and you know, I take it to the next level, like the radical acceptance of this is God. Like, this is exactly
Yes.
the way things are. And we know when we're around these people, they're always laughing. They're
Yeah.
all right. Those
Yeah.
gurus are always laughing
Yes.
because they're just not taking it so seriously, because this is not all there is. They're laughing and they're smiling and they're saying yes. They're constantly saying yes to what is like,
Yeah.
ah,
Right.
yes.
Yes.
Or in Hebrew, it's Cain, Cain. My guru is Cain, 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 right?
Yeah.
And so is that I think so. I
Yes.
think so because you're past this veneer and you're sort of like you're seeing through it. I mean, the most sobering moments. And I'm referring you to Frank Oser. I'm not going to get his last names right. The Five Agreements, and he set up a Buddhist hospice in a Zen hospice in San Francisco, and he sat with thousands of people, and like the Five Agreements that he talks about are just such banal, trite, and such clear truths
Yes.
of like you know showing up and trusting and letting go and you know I don't even recall them exactly, but they're like But yeah, those ineffable qualities that we're experiencing when we're in the presence of these enlightened beings. And guess what? When you're accepting the death, you're enlightened. I mean, look at the word. It's enlightened.
Right.
Like you're in the light. You're literally in the light because,
Oh,
right? I just did. I five it. Right? You're in light. I don't do grammar or move anything.
Wow. Yeah,
Language of
that
origin.
explains
Use it in
it.
a sentence.
No, you're that's it. That explains it because it is a place of complete surrender. And when I was seeing
Complete surrender.
this woman and her, what I think is like just a physiological resistance to what was happening, meeting complete surrender, it was when there was the resistance, it was like someone putting a dimmer down on a light, and when it wasn't there, woof, like just beautiful, vivid. Wow, that's so cool. Wow,
And
so it's
we're tying back to the dimmer is that's what the Kabbalists say occurred when God sort of removed it. It's called the Tzimtzum, which is just a diminishment of it, but it's never gone. It's just that dimmer is gone. And then what we're able to do is there's a re-entrance of this ray of light, which is called the Kav, and it enters into, and that's the divinity, and that's going to sort of enlighten. You sort of get that dimmer, that switch, and you can just start picking it up. And there are people who are living with their control panel is just, on a higher level. Because we're staring at the same thing. You'd be a jerk if you were just like, yeah, there's no suffering.
Have.
It's like, that's not helpful. But it's like there is suffering. There is suffering, and there's also hope.
Where do these
Meaning
words come from?
they
This
come from
is
the books. They come from
crazy.
the these are my friends. These are my people I'm hanging out with Rabbi Judah Michel. I don't know if these guys, I don't know if they're down. He's the chief rabbi of the world. I'm learning from these enlightened teachers. People get so caught up. The problem sometimes with Orthodox Judaism is you can get real, there are a lot of rules. But the
Yes.
rules are all supposed to create this awareness and this consciousness, but you start to get losing the forest and the trees. And so
Right.
people are just like, I can't eat after a certain time. And like by sundown, it's Sabbath, and I can't do certain things. It's a lot of the don'ts, but the don'ts are just to create this awareness of being. But because of, again, I'm going to go with intergenerational trauma, and I'm going to go with years of persecution, that you sort of like have been in this survival mode. And we're getting out of that. I have friends now who are working with psychedelics to sort of work with that in a
Yeah.
Jewish level. And I also have colleagues. I'm gonna my Dr. Mark Bronstein, who we connected through the Jewish angle, who he and I are doing some ketamine treatments with now, high dose ketamine with psychotherapy with it to do, with a clinical purpose to treat depression and anxiety and trauma and doing couples therapy with that.
Wow.
We're doing this in New York. Or he's like, you don't got to go to Peru to do ayahuasca. You can come to Colorado or meet us in New York. And we're doing these treatments.
I just think it is so like so s stunning that their words like this even exist, because the implication is minds spent enough time communing, analyzing to come up with words to describe these things. It's just a beautiful, the implication is so is be just the very existence of the words is beautiful, right? In the sense that because the words exist, it shows like these are like, I don't know, I'm sorry, you hear about like, and they found a 150-year-old bottle of wine in the Titanic. Wow! 100, but these words, each of them feel like that. Like they feel like, but like infinitely old linguistic wine bottles that are sort of like
Keys. They're keys.
keys. That's what I was looking for.
I
Keys,
got you.
fermented keys. Exactly. And so it, because right, because once you get the word, then you have a kind of handle that within which that you could start, examining something very closely. But without the word, it's more of like a kind of intuitive sense. Kav, for example. Wow, I
But
love that.
the amazing thing is the kav, the etymology in the Hebrew word of kav, of line, is also from the word tikva, kivui, which means hope, meaning that ray of light. And again, it's not light. It's the closest word that we could use as a metaphor. Are you a metaphor to what is going on there? But it's not an actual physical. You can't touch
Right.
these things. You can't touch these things. But I'll give you another one that's gonna. I hope you've never heard this one. This one. What's the magician's phrase? What a magician does the phrase? You know the old school magician.
Abracadabra.
Yeah. Guess what? Ready?
Yes.
Aramaic. The Aramaic phrase for "I create as I speak" is "abra." I create. Abracadabra. I create as I speak. Because once you have those words for it, once you have the language, and again, in psychology now, words are what get us stuck. We get so stuck with language. And again, when it says that God created man, I mean, he was created as a speaking being. So the fact that we're able to create language is our blessing and our curse. Because when we find the right words, you know, like we can create these realities, we can manifest. But when you have the thought that I'm depressed, you suddenly become stuck because you're buying into this discursive mind that is just, you know, constantly sweating out these things. So language has such a grip on us. So as soon as we're able to sort of remove ourselves from that grip, but on the other hand, without the words, without speaking, without tapping into that essence, you know, that words, you know, that those words of prayer or those words of personal prayer, like Rabbi Nachman, again, our guru, you know, talked about how a person should speak in their own language in, you know, on a consistent basis. And at some point, you'll tap into prophecy. You'll tap into something that's divine, that you're going to tap into something deeper. It's not just you're talking about your laundry list of stuff. It's just going to be like, I'm going to start speaking and like, whoa, where that's coming from is coming from, you know, a deeper well.
That what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm sorry. Speaking your own language as opposed to like,
as opposed to speaking, you know, praying in the traditional form, like, reading out of the prayer book.
Okay. This is an argument. I got in a wonderful argument, like a nice argument with a friend regarding like chanting Hare Krishna or chanting the mantras. Yeah. And they were like, why not just say the prayer in English? Why do you have to say it in another language? Say, what does that mean in English? And then say that.
It's exactly what you were saying. Meaning there were people who were tapped in. And again, think for one second, what would your life look like without I can't get his name, Baba?
What? Neem Karoli Baba?
Neem Karoli Baba.
Yeah.
I mean, what would your life look like without him?
It would.
Can you imagine?
I don't know. No, I can't. Right? I don't know.
No, but you've tapped into eternity. You've tapped into to wisdom, right? And you can't go back from there. Right? Again, God, no God. Sometimes I have a lot of questions, but like these guys are pretty unequivocal, and they're not blowing smoke out of their ass. Ears, right? Right, that too, right? I could say ass, but you know, I'm trying to work.
I know you didn't what you felt, but I feel for a moment you hesitate because it's like you don't want to talk about Neem Karoli Baba blowing smoke out of.
No, no. Yeah, it's not appropriate because you know he's a guru. He's a guru.
Look, but we can't limit him. I mean, but I know what you're saying. I know what you mean.
Like, so having that connection to these types of people, you know, so if they said that there's merit in the chanting and these mantras are tapping into something, I have to believe that. And there's a prayer.
Right.
There's a prayer, the silent prayer, which is said three times a day. And it could get really verbose. It could be very verbatim.
Verbose?
It could be very, not verbose. Like verbatim. It could be very... just very rote.
Okay, you know, very gotcha, rote. Gotcha.
But like if you start to do it as a mantra, then you believe, and again, it's all about intention.
Yes.
We're going through the motions, and you know what? It don't mean anything. On the outside, people might think you're a very wise person. You know, you might be a very enlightened being, but we both know it's all about the intention. It's all about that rutzo. Because at the end of the day, how much control do we really have?
Rutzo? So,
rutzo is will, that longing, desire. Meaning, you want to be the biggest podcaster in the world. You want to have, you know, me hang out on the show with me all the time. Is it?
Yes.
I don't know. It's out of your control. But what you want, that's who you are. We believe in that. We believe in your inherent worth and that what you do, you know, matters a lot less than what you are. You know, we believe in human beings, not human doings. And that rutzon, your will, whether or not it looks like the way you want it to. Look, if you have 10 bucks in your pocket and you say, I really want to give charity, but you don't do it. That's not rutzon, right? You know, if I could teach one thing, I'll teach one thing, you know, because that's all I can do, you know, not getting into the idea of free will and free choice and how much, you know, but in terms of like, you know, the proximal effects and in Buddhist thought and in Jewish thought, like, do we really have control? Like you were born the way you were and you were born to the family the way you were and you married the person you did. And like your kids are going to have their things. And you know what, at the end of the day, how much control do they really have?
Thank you. How much could you, because I do think this is like once you do get into the secret society of becoming a parent, it's a very big secret society, but it's a secret society in the sense that you see something that I don't know that you can get to through contemplation of the thing. Maybe, I don't know, I didn't. So it's not fair to say other people can't.
You could talk, no, because there's talking about it, and there's reading about it, and there's the intellectualizing about
yes.
it. And that used to, that's very sexy to you when you're younger.
Yeah.
Because we're very enamored by the genius and the ivory tower of academia. And then you meet these people, and then you experience, and you're like, oh, that's what love is. Oh,
yeah.
This is a perfect being. And that perfect being literally just jumped on your wife's bed, and I don't care about this, with their dirty feet. And it doesn't matter even a little bit.
Even a little bit. But also the free will part, it's like when I'm looking at Dune and I'm looking at Forrest, I'm looking at Aaron
I love those names.
I'm trying to figure out how did this happen? And how much control did I have over this, you know, Aaron and I will talk about where like, there's no way we could have met and not ended up getting married. Like it was like, you know, when you hear,
believe that, you know,
that thing. But then also when you start thinking, did we name these kids or did they tell us their names in our dreams?
Jewish tradition 100% says you are granted something called Ruach HaKodesh. You're granted divine inspiration by naming your kids because the name is the essence. Your name contains your essence. And so it,
that's beautiful. Why are you laughing? I love it. It's so beautiful. I'm laughing because it's so beautiful.
No, and I hear the way you talk about the kids. And again, I have a kid and like, my job is just to stay out of her way.
Yeah.
If I just stay out of her way, because she goes through life believing that the world is unicorns and rainbows. And I just say, I'm just gonna stay out of your way. I come home and I'm pissed at the world and I feel someone squeezing my ass, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever squeeze your dad's ass?
No,
right? Right, I'm good. I'm not the only one. And I go, I dare it right now. I dare it. Not now. This is not the right time. She's like, Abba, that's the Hebrew name for dad. It's a palindrome. D-A-D, Abba, A-B-A. Oh, yeah, it's like, through and through, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to be their dad forever. Mom is the same thing. Abba. And it's Ima in Hebrew, right? It's beautiful. She goes, Ima. Abba, your tushy, your butt, it's so mushy. And like, oh, what are you going to say to that? Like, all right. I'm going to try squeezing my dad's ass and see how that goes over.
Yeah, no, it's a different thing.
That'll straighten the whole thing out. No, but they're these perfect beings. I actually have a son with special needs. I have a son with special needs. It's kind of like, you know, how I end up. And this is part of my, and I'm just like, okay. And again, my guru said to me, in, you know, wherever that's happening, you agreed to this. And I said, I feel like I would remember that. But when I live with that awareness, when I believe that acceptance, and I do, because I believe everything else he's saying,
yes.
And call me crazy and call you crazy, but guess what? I'll tell you a story from Rabbi Nachman.
Please.
Rabbi Nachman tells a story where there's a king. Rabbi Nachman said, people tell stories for people to fall asleep. I tell stories to make people up. And they're very deep and they're very Kabbalistic. And I'm going to send you a copy of them and you will trip. It'll be Burning Man 2.0. And so I'll come with you. I'm
down. Next.
You come to Uman, I'll come to Burning Man.
Okay.
And so, more human than human. And so the king's advisor in a vision or in one of his like dreams saw that the grain was going to be tainted. There was going to be tainted grain. And again, people like to say that it was some sort of fungi, one of these things. He said that everybody who's going to eat the grain, because you cannot eat the grain because you'll starve, is going to go mad. So he brings it to the king, and the king says, so what should we do? He's like, let's store enough grain for us that we won't have to partake in the wheat, and then we'll be sort of, you know, immune to the insanity. He says, well, if we do that, then to everybody else, we're going to be perceived as the crazy ones.
Right.
Yeah. So he said, what should we do? What should we do? He says, so you know what we'll do? We'll eat the grain, but we'll both put a mark on our foreheads so we'll both know that we're crazy. So you and I, we have the mark on our foreheads. I'm blessing you right now. I'm putting that mark. Whoa. We might be crazy, but at least we know. At least we know that we're the crazy ones. So I'm telling you, brother. I'm telling you
that is wild. Hey,
We're just touching. I'm not the right guy for this. I could put you in touch with some people
Please.
Who may or may not want to come on this show and just take you on this beautiful journey, because my faith and your faith is just what people need. And I hope you see that from your show, because you did it for me. And I'm egotistical enough to say that if there's someone out there like me, you got to believe it's relevant to, I mean, that's part of psychotherapy that I struggle with. It's like people coming in with the same problems. But if I look at it and say, right, because we're all struggling with this, that doesn't cheapen it. That makes it more beautiful. That makes it more, you know, again, that holy work. But I struggle with it because the suffering becomes, you know, there's a Flaming Lips song. Like, is it getting heavy? You know, I thought it was already as heavy as can be, you know?
listen. I'm speechless. I'm not literally speechless. I was the but I want to talk about this, Mark. Because, you know, one of the things that can happen if you are a habitual user of cannabis, as I have been in my life at times, is you will forget that you ate marijuana. You will forget. Right. It'll just be something you're like, oh, I'll have a little bit. Few hours pass, and suddenly you're like,
what's going on right now?
Oh my God, I'm going nuts. And then you're like, oh, you idiot. Why did you do that? You ate weed in the morning before breakfast, and now you're going to pay.
You have a business meeting.
You're going to pay. But the moment you remember that, then it's not quite as bad. It's only terrifying when you forget. This is what it reminds me of. It's like the moment that you start reminding yourself, okay. But the difference is, I know I ate weed in the story. They know they ate wheat. What did we eat?
We were born. It's the condition. And the Baal Shem Tov, the founding master of Hasidut, which is again just a reintroduction into, because it was you talk about secret societies. It was kept on the DL until he opened it up. He said, for this to survive, for this tradition to survive, people need to be tapped into the inner work, and they can't just be checked. And there's something beautiful about checking the boxes. I believe in that, you know, going through the motions and doing the practice, and it's meditation, if it's yoga, if it's the breathing, it's doing the work. But if you're missing the inner workings, you know, there's a lot of spiritual narcissism also going on out there.
Yes.
And so what he said was the root, the word, again, because the words are the creation and the words are how God created the world, right? Through letters, through divine speech, which we believe is constantly and consistently innervating the world. Right, that's not actual physical letters, but there's this speech, there's this language, and this is the world is God talking to us. So he says the word for galut, which is what we're in right now, this is the 9 days of you know the destruction of the temple.
Yes,
that the word for galut is, you know, the same is he said that's just forgetting. When you forget, and redemption is you know the Hebrew word for that is geula, is remembering, and he says the difference between that is just. It's just adding this one letter, the Aleph, which is again that divine, that divinity. That's it. It's just that one basic. The words are the same. You just add one letter.
Oh,
for exile and redemption.
God,
forgetting and remembering.
That's impossible. It's impossible. That can't.
It's impossible to always be. I'll read it to you.
No,
I'll
I'm sorry. I just book. Mean like I'm so. It's to me. It's like, how did it happen that in the evolution of language, in this particular language, it is so spiritually precise that there's a literal mathematical aspect to it? But
we believe it was not a human creation. I mean, most people are like, you know what, this will be a cup. Let's call this a cup. But in Hebrew, you know, the biblical Hebrew is, you know, from our, you know, my belief perspective, believes that, you know, that the Hebrew letters are the building blocks of creation.
Wow.
And so if you're going to be using that, and so the words are so specific, just like in the Buddhist psychology, like if you say the word faith in Buddhism, you're not talking about hope. And if you say love in Buddhism, you're not talking about the law, meaning they are really precise.
Right, right.
So like take that and amplify that, because now it's not coming from, you know, the Buddha's unbelievable discerning mind. We believe like this is the building blocks of creation.
I know you're about to read something. I just want to emphasize that redemption is forgetfulness with God added to it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is so cool.
It's so cool. If we live with that awareness, and then there's a positive commandment every day to believe that God took you out of Egypt. Egypt is not a physical location. You know, the Jews were slaves in Egypt.
Yes.
Anytime you're in servitude to one of those desires, even again, it could be the physical pleasures. It could be those impulsive things. It could be that depressive mindset where you feel, again, Mitzrayim, again, the Hebrew word Mitzrayim comes from the word straits, meaning from that narrowed, that constricted way of being, right? So that constricted way of being, when you're not seeing yourself through the Or HaTzadik, when you're not seeing yourself the way, you know, Ram Dass, you know, saw you or saw himself, when you're looking at yourself like that, then you're in Egypt. And you have to remind yourself constantly and consistently that I could get out of Egypt. If I got out of Egypt once, I could get out of Egypt again. That's remembering.
Wow.
That's Geula. That's redemption. And if you forget your name of who you really are, and that name has to be a chip off the divine block, right? Because again, you can't be a flaw in the system.
Right?
That's part of it. It's like, it kind of, God worked it out for himself. I was like, yo, if you messed up, it's because of you, man. That's your fault. No, but we also believe that God says, I messed up too. Tisha B'Av is the day where we say, hey, you know, what's all this for?
Yeah.
Like enough. And we read a beautiful, I'll send you a clip. I'm actually going to be reading it for the camp. We read a scroll with a beautiful mournful tune, and it's called Eicha, which is just like, how could it have happened? But it also comes from the word Ayeka, which is what God said to Adam when he was in the Garden of Eden, and he says, where are you? Like, where are you? Like, and again, my guru and Rabbi Nachman would say, Heichan ani ba'olam, where am I right now? Where are you? And he says, Eicha, Ayeka, where are you? God doesn't need to know where Adam is. God has a pretty, also there was only one dude in the world. If you believe that story, right? You can't lose track. Like, I sometimes lose my kids. You ever lose your kids sometimes?
It's terrifying.
It's a terrifying feeling.
The worst.
It's the worst.
Even if it happens for a second, it's so
45,
bad.
45 seconds. That is hell, by the way. That is hell. 45 seconds at the beach is hell. I know what that is. That is hell. That is the hell realm. So God saying Ayeka, God saying Eicha, where are you? It's like, what? Like, you have to be asking yourself that question constantly. Like, where am I right now? Remember. Because when you forget the I, that's your exile, right? You're like, again, you lost it. It's not the physical servitude. It's not being away from your home. It's just the forgetting, you know, your light. You're a divine being.
Wow.
You're a divine being. You are love. And again, I hope it sounds fluffy and it sounds
beautiful.
You know, but it's beautiful because I love you so hard.
I love you. God. Thank you so much. This is really like, just, it's like the most.
And I'm telling you, I'm just a regular guy on the street. I'm just a regular guy.
Totally.
I'm a good looking guy. And
beautiful,
if Warby Parker wants to, can I say people that aren't sponsoring your show? Can I do that? Warby Parker should be sponsoring my face because people are staring at my face all the time.
I love your glasses.
Well, Warby Parker. My friend Dr. Mark Bronstein is doing some really amazing healing work with ketamine in a clinical setting.
Mark Bronstein?
Mark Bronstein at Reconscious Medical in Colorado, and we're going to be opening some clinics in New York, hopefully.
Is his clinic open now?
If you want to come out to Durango, Colorado right now and spend a week with us, we can make that happen.
I'm just saying if people listening wanted to...
People listening can reach it, Reconscious Medical. I believe that's the website.
You'll give it to me. I'll put the link on since I can't plug your book because it's sold out. I see now why your book's sold out. I mean, all of this is so.
There are a lot of nuts, but none of it's mine. I will be the most self-effacing. And again, what we talked about, this idea when you're in the room with that person, we left a lot of things open for season three, but like the that's called bittul in the Kabbalistic words. It's called bittul, complete nullification. It's not negating the self. It's negating that ego because what comes out is the true essence. And that's what we're striving towards. And you see it. You see it. These people, they're not to be trifled with.
Bittul, right? You mean bittul is the nullification of what's obscuring the kav, the light?
That's a good one. That's a good one. And the bittul is that physical, that ego. And then when you're in the presence of Neem Karoli Baba, when you're in the presence of Ram Dass, like, are you staring? I mean, they're so not taking, it's not even like taking yourself seriously. Right. It's not that. It's just like, you are just, there's something, there's, and it's there. It's either there or it's not. It can't just be there for them. And when they're talking to you, and yeah. like, you know, you ever go to your guru and you start like fetching about like something you did last summer, like, I know what you did last summer, and they look at you, it's like, that's not who you are. You're like, that's all you see yourself as.
Okay, can I tell you a very quick story? One of my friends
I'm not going anywhere. I'm in heaven right now. I'm in eternity.
One of my friends, I won't say his name just because I don't know if this is public information, but he got to be, he was invited to a place where one of the Dalai Lama's oracles was hanging out. And he, at the time, he'd been very depressed, deeply depressed. I feel bad today, but bad, very bad.
Heavy. It was heavy.
Heavy. Yeah. Enough that he got invited to go to the Dalai Lama's oracle. You know what I mean? You have to be like, to get like where it's like that level, like, okay, come here. And he said that he walks into the room with this being and he's talking to him. And within a few minutes, he's trying to remember what was wrong. He can't remember. Like, it's just being around. Like, he can't. It was just gone. Like, there, and he was like spinning his wheels. Like, wait, what was I unhappy? What was this? Because this quality, you know, that is just there. It is just there. It's and so I guess in the way that you're saying, redemption is what happens when you stop forgetting your connection to God. Then yeah. I guess maybe when you start remembering your connection to God, you forget your connection to the, what was that beautiful, Vaikud. Is that the word?
Vaikud.
Yeah. So when you can't remember both at the same time. Maybe there's no way to have a, is that accurate? I'm sorry, you're giving me these like awesome equations.
No, you just said it, meaning can you be a grateful person and depressed at the same time?
I don't see how.
You don't see how. I mean, you can't be depressed when you're living in this state. And that doesn't mean that there isn't heavy things going on. We're not denying reality.
Right.
But yeah, that's the thing. Is like asceticism is not praise. There are times to be ascetic. There are times to fast. There are times to be chanting. There are times to be prayer. But the real work, like the greatest glory and the greatest joy is in, it's in the trenches. And we have this warped thing of like, you know, there has to be this separation. It's just like, no, sex is beautiful. Eating is holy, right? There are ways to do it, though. It can't be in a gluttonous way. Yeah. It has to be done in a way of real, you know, sanctity. But we don't look at this world as a, you know, he messed up this one. I guess, you know, this simulation, you know, just got to run it through and it's like, you know, try again next time. No, this is the way it's supposed to be. And there is that dialectic of like, okay, so I'm good. How could I be better? And like, yes. Meaning when you're living in consonance with your spirit and your body, that is the rebuilding of the temple. Yes, there's going to be a physical manifestation of that. But when you're doing that, and when you don't have that, when there is that internal struggle, when there is that fight, when there is this, you know, you're tearing yourself apart, you've destroyed the temple. And that's what we're trying to rebuild, person by person.
I have to thank you for something very specific now, because what you've given me in this conversation is not just something I had forgotten, but something I have been perpetually confused about for decades. And you have helped me completely unravel it. And I really have to thank you, because I just, up until this point, have not understood redemption. And that's what you just gave me. I just didn't understand the possibility of it, how it works, the physics behind it, the math behind it. And I thank you for this, because that is what you gave me in this conversation. It is so beautiful, so sublime, and such a perfect exposition on the subject. I really want to thank you for that, because what an incredible, perfect kind of math there. It really is.
It's just coming. It's coming from our tzaddikim. It's coming from our gurus, and we are blessed. You know, again, I like to, you know, what did I do in my previous lives to be able to have this? You know, and then if we can remember that, you know, like, I don't deserve anything, the D word. You know, but to be like, we've been exposed to people. And again, there's a certain, you know, disbelief that like, I don't think I'm supposed to be in this club. But like, mm-hmm. I know people that I know Duncan
Dr. Benji, I know you, and now they know you.
Can we hang out? Can we?
Yes.
Is that?
No. We have
I think we'd have so much fun. I'm fun. Like I'm good vibes.
I want to hang out, but I want you. I want to. This can only be the first appearance of you on this show. Please, we can't just stop now. Like this is. There's too many things.
This is no. I'll tell you another teaching from the masters.
Please.
It says like you meet somebody. And you feel like you've known them forever, it means that you are neighbors in paradise. You know, there's certain people you're just like, where do you guys know each other from? And it's just like, this isn't the first go around. I've been your guest on this podcast.
Yes,
many,
you,
many
Dr.
times.
Benji. Look at this. This never happens. Look at this scrawl in my notebook. It looks like a madman has just been scrawling these words.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate your wisdom.
Thank you.
Your humor. First of all, I know you don't see yourself as one, but your therapeutic style. Because ultimately, I'm not a master therapist. I do think I understand suffering. But what I do really try to cultivate is just holding space, which I think I'm good at, you know, that goes along with that. And your natural, the laughter and just the inserting of just a word here and a word there. And I'm like, this guy is just a therapist. You are a therapist of the soul.
Thank you.
And I'm hearing it from your guests also. And like, you know, you have your meditation teachers on, you have, David
Nickturn
on it, and like he's said this, he's like, you know what you're receiving from him, you're giving back. Like you're really, and that's called the Or Hozer, that's called the reflecting light. There's an Or Yashar that's coming to you, and then there's an Or Hozer, and it's constantly coming back and forth and back and forth. Whoa. And we're just giving.
Wait,
and
what's that called?
And there's an Or Yashar, which is the direct light, you know, the teacher to student. But then there's the Or Chozer, the light that we're reflecting back. We're all reflecting that light back, you know. And that's the nachat. That's the pleasure that we can give to God. What can you give God? It's like, what do you buy the guy who has everything? And the answer is a Midnight Gospel T-shirt. It's like you can give him. And again, your kids are not put on this earth to give you nachat. They're not here to give you that. You know, like we get lost in that, but their existence is just that. Yeah, that we messed them up by thinking like, oh, you have to be here for no, you're not here for that purpose. You're here to find. Yeah, we're friends.
Listen,
really,
man,
cool.
I'm going to have to mop my mind up off of the floor of my studio after this conversation.
Save me some.
Thank you. Will you please tell people where they can find you? And thank you so much for this time.
No, I'm going to put on my LinkedIn profile, friend of Duncan Trussell. We have a joke, you know, like, cause like, you know, like, you know, they, like they're tzaddikim. They're the righteous people who are ish pelet, like wondrous people. They call themselves wondrous people. And there are people who are poel yeshuot that they are able to, what's poel? They're able to enact, you know, yeshuot or redemption. So that's, I'm a poel yeshuot, you know, like, you know, I'm bringing redemptions, you know, I'm bringing salvation. That's
okay,
what I do.
Hang on one second. No. If you can call me your guru, am I allowed to call you my rabbi?
Yes, that's pretty much my claim to fame. That's what I do with Dr. Bronson. He's like, you can be my rabbi. I said, I don't want to be your rabbi. I want to be your co-therapist. He's like, I'd much have you be my rabbi, because that means I've made it up here. Deal.
We have a deal, Rabbi. Thank you so much.
Can I put that on LinkedIn? Can I put that on LinkedIn?
Yes,
Rabbi.
Yes, you absolutely can.
And my Twitter bio.
Absolutely. Oh, confirmed. Okay.
My wife's gonna love me. No, but I'm a therapist in Jerusalem and in New York, and I'm doing some ketamine treatments with a fellow psychiatrist named Dr. Mark Bronstein, and we're doing really good work with treating addiction, trauma, and depression. And I hope to bring it to Israel at some point. But I would love to just be able to talk to you for hours, and you know, and just bring you into meet some amazing people.
This is only the beginning.
And again, we're starting over and over and
starting
over again.
Starting over.
I love you.
I guess it's the continuation. Yeah. Rabbi, thank you so much for this time.
Shabbat shalom. And again, the goal is soul, and the goal, and again, God bless.
God bless you. Hare Krishna.
So much
thank
love.
You.
Hare Krishna.
That was Ben Epstein, everybody. All the links you need to find him are going to be at DuncanTrussell.com. Much thanks to our glorious sponsors, and much thanks to you for tuning in. We'll be back next week with two episodes. Until then, Hare Krishna.